Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Of course, the downside of all this activity that is happening in church and in school and maybe at your workplace, it means that all those great summer activities that you were taking part of this summer are now winding down. And that's sad. For me, it could mean that I begin watching more mountain biking videos than actually riding my mountain bike. Those of you who are not into this thing like I am, there is this big genre of videos on YouTube, vloggers who go on bike rides all around the world and then post videos of their ride that they take while they're on trails, including lots of trails in our area. And this summer, I was exposed to a particular trail on Moose Mountain that I had heard about lots, that I've biked by the trailhead lots, but I've never actually ridden down. And the trail is called T-Dub. And the signature feature of T-Dub is a kind of jump known as a step-up. That is the T-Dub step-up. And here's a little sample video of that step-up taken by one of my favorite vloggers, a guy who comes from BC and was actually in Bragg Creek area just a few weeks ago, and he shot a little video of a couple friends doing this jump. I just want you to see it.
But now we had arrived at the big one. And like all those before it, I was pretty nervous to hit it. But it was time to overcome my fears and send it. Luckily, Ryan had some advice that could help.
So, when we do it, we're gonna crawl through here. Yeah. And the moment we hit this, let go of the brakes, don't touch them, and it will be perfect.
Sounds simple enough. Ryan demonstrates. Easy. Antoine was up next.
Oh, that's fast.
It is.
Yeah. Here it is. Yeah, man, my heart's in my throat as I'm picking up speed every.
So last Saturday, I took my virgin descent down T-Dub to see the step up for myself. And I can assure you that it is as big in real life as it is on camera. And increasing the fear factor, my ride last Saturday was with a good friend of mine who works for Alberta Parks, and he informed me that regularly over the course of this summer, they have helicoptered people out of the forest after they attempted the T-Dub jump. So last Saturday, after watching the video, hearing about all the dangers, taking a close look at the structure, getting the intel on how you do it, I rode around it. Now here's what's funny about that. I've now been live to the jump twice. I've studied it. I've heard plenty of explanation about how you can ride it successfully and safely. I've watched videos of many people, more than just these guys, of people successfully clearing it, and yet I have not done it myself. So what was the point of all my research? My wife, who is watching today at home, would suggest that watching videos about how to do something or talking endlessly about how other people do things, all of that is a giant waste of time because just hearing about it is a far cry from actually doing something. Now, Cindy's opinion is coincidentally similar, or at least somewhat similar, to an opinion that Jesus himself holds in the Bible. And I'd like to tell you a little story that he told that I know probably most of you here have at least heard before once. And you'll find it in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Very simple story. Here's what he said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What's the point of that story? A pretty simple one, I think. I think it is that hearing Jesus' teaching, hearing what the Bible has to say, is very important, even critical to our life, our spiritual life, physical life, emotional, relational life. But hearing alone is not enough for me to survive the storms of life. In order to withstand all that life, the world, the devil will throw at me, I will need to put what I hear into practice. Let me try to make that a little simpler. Learning from Jesus without doing anything about it is stupid. And for those of us who want it even a little bit more pointed, I'm a fool if I listen to Jesus but don't do what he says. Let's put this into context, this little story that Jesus told. He told it at the conclusion of his most famous sermon probably ever, the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, if you look at it, starting in Matthew chapter 5, he talks about all kinds of teaching that you have heard, being salt and light in our world, loving our enemies, keeping our vows to our spouses and to other people, praying, giving our worries to him, not judging other people, doing unto others, the golden rule, doing unto others what we would have them do unto us. What Jesus just finished saying, just before he tells the story, is what many people consider to be the most brilliant and sophisticated moral teaching ever given on planet Earth. And the conclusion that Jesus puts to all that teaching, to put a bow on the entire package, is this little story about two guys who built a house. And essentially Jesus says, look, the content, what you've just learned, what I've given you, it is powerful. It is designed actually to serve as the foundation of a meaningful, lasting human life. But if you hear my words and don't put them into practice, well, that is all a giant waste of time. How's putting into practice going for us right now? Now, just to make sure that we don't misunderstand Jesus, let's get clear on what he doesn't say with this little story. First, he doesn't say that those people who fail to put his teaching into practice are bad people, and those that do put into practice what he teaches are good. The contrast in this story is not between good and bad. The contrast is between wise people and foolish people. So if you want to participate in a million Bible studies this year and subscribe to 100 sermon podcasts from the greatest preachers from around the world and just learn things without doing anything about it, you're not evil. Jesus would just suggest that you're stupid. So many biking videos, so little biking. Second, Jesus isn't talking about non-believers, non-Christians here, as if to say, look, if you are a Christian, you are automatically, of course, going to do what I tell you. God gives all people, Christians included, the freedom to build their house, to build their life on whatever they want. And make no mistake about it, there is no one present today, online or in the house, that is not building their life on some kind of foundation. Everyone is building their life on something. You are building your life on something that you believe foundationally. Beneath the surface, all of us believe that something in reality, in this world, in life, in the universe is stable and true and capable of supporting human life. So, for sure, for some of us, it is financial security. If I can pay the bills, if I can make sure I have enough resources, that is the kind of foundation I can build my life on. For some of us, it is being happy. If I can just be content, if I can build for myself a life on contentedness, it will be good. I will survive the storms of life. For some of us, it is being liked. For some of us, it is making sure we are safe. For some, it is to have the most fun possible. You only live once. Maybe it is being a good person. If whatever I do, I build my life on the foundation of being good, being a decent, kind human being, then I believe that in the end, the universe will reward me for that and I will make it through the storm. And Jesus says, you can build your life on whatever you want. But the truth is, my words, my teachings are the most stable, dependable, lasting foundation on which to build a thriving human life. Heaven and earth, he says in another place, will pass away, but my words will not. But I'm not going to force you to build your life on me and what I say. You've got the freedom to hear me and then go build your life on something else if you want. So, I'm assuming that most of the people watching, listening to me today, I'm assuming that most of you are Christians. Some not, and that's good. I'm glad that you're here with us even if you're not. But those of you who are, you can believe with all your heart that Jesus saves alone. You can sing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand," at full volume at home or with a mask on or hum it or something. You can pay lip service to whatever Christian theology you like. And then you are quite capable of going and living your life however you want. It's your call. Jesus doesn't force you to obey him. He just warns you of the consequences of doing so. Third, Jesus does not say that learning is useless, or that reading the Bible is bad, or that studying scripture more deeply is a waste of time. After all, you can't do what Jesus says if you've never heard what he says in the first place. He's not against learning more about the Bible. What he's against is learning more and more about the Bible without any kind of follow-through on what you've already learned. Do not merely listen to the word, his half-brother James wrote, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Fourth, Jesus doesn't say that people who obey his teaching have easier lives. He doesn't say, you know, listen to my teaching, put it into practice, and you'll never experience another flood again. As though obeying God is some kind of good luck charm that keeps the difficulties in your life away. No, no. The promise is that doing what Jesus says will mean that you can withstand the troubles in your life, not escape from them completely. As Dale Bruner suggests, we get protection from God in our troubles, not protection from troubles. Finally, Jesus doesn't say that we will have amazing, successful lives if we obey his teaching. He doesn't say that those who build their house on the rock will have bigger houses with more rooms, or that they will have more energy-efficient houses, or that they will have fancier houses that everyone else will notice. His simple point is that people who practice what he preaches, that their house, their life will survive. And those who stop just at listening may not. So back to the question, how's putting into practice going for us? Let me take you back to May. Back in May, we as a staff were beginning to wonder about how church life would look like in fall 2020 and winter 2021. Here we are. Thus, September 13th was already in our radar at that time. And what was pretty clear to me and to us was that it wasn't going to look the same, that it would be likely that all of us as a church family, most of us would be facing some challenges, some serious, some less so. Maybe that would be health with our family, with societal changes, with how work was going down. Some of us certainly without support systems that used to be in place when we were operating normally. So we began at that time serious discussions about what we should do to keep the church family healthy once we hit fall 2020. And of course, many of us have theological educations as pastors. And so we are like taught to study and teach the Bible. And so our first and primary idea is, well, let's teach the heck out of these people. Let's develop courses and sermons to help people know what God says. And thus, when they learn stuff, they will begin thriving in the midst of these difficult times. We'll make videos and lesson plans. We'll do stuff at the church, and we will deploy them across our entire community. And so we began putting the rough ideas of our plan together. And then I had a conversation with our district superintendent. If you come from more high church like the Anglican Church, that's our bishop. And I told him, you know, we're thinking about fall 2020 here, and we are going to develop an extensive curriculum, and here's what we're going to do, and we're going to make videos, and we're going to ask everybody to learn stuff, and it's going to be great. And I told him about our plan and asked him about what he thought about it. And to my surprise, he shot it down. Gently, but he shot it down. And the gist of his critique, these aren't quotes, but the gist of his critique went like this. Jason, do you think that Cochrane Alliance Church is short on good biblical content? Is that what is standing in the way of them thriving in the midst of this pandemic? That they just don't know enough stuff about the Bible? That they don't know what Jesus expects of us? Therefore, your job is to develop more lessons to help people know more about what the Bible says, and the more they know, that will help them through difficulty. And he said, Jason, look at all the content that is out there already. Right now, all of you, today, you can, via the internet, pretty much go to any church you want to in North America. Through Right Now Media, I hope many of you have an account with us on that. If you don't know what that is, type it in the comments online, send us a note. But all of you, as part of this church, have access to many of the leading evangelical teachers and preachers in the world, and you could do Bible studies from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed until June 2021, and you would not have exhausted all the content that is there. Through Amazon, you can order hundreds of thousands of great theological books and have them arrive on your device instantly. There are podcasts and blogs and magazines that are available to you on your phone anywhere, any time of day or night. So if the secret to thriving, for us to make it through this thing, is to have more biblical content, more available Bible studies, hearing more of what Jesus says, then the Canadian church should be absolutely killing it right now. And while he didn't necessarily pull out the story of the wise and foolish builders, my friend's suggestion was that we put more effort into helping Christians practice what they already know to be true, rather than simply learning about more truth. I think he has a point. And I'm saying this as a person who has dedicated a huge chunk of their professional life to teaching the Bible to people. 15 to 20 hours of most of my weeks are dedicated to helping people learn more. But I know how even I can get into a certain learning loop. Okay, Kaliba, it's Sunday night. That was an okay sermon. You just learned a lot yourself preparing it. What are we going to learn next week? And then I go back to the books without any conscious effort involved into adjusting my life so that my practice aligns with what I've just learned. Maybe I don't need another sermon on what Jesus says about loving my wife. Maybe I just need to work with Jesus to stop putting Cindy down in front of other people. Maybe I don't need a book explaining the meaning behind the Greek word for self-control. And maybe I just need someone to kick my butt when I reach into the cookie jar every night before I go to bed. Maybe I don't need to attend a seminar on how Ignatius of Loyola developed a system of devotional life. Maybe I just need to make time for a devotional life. Maybe I don't need to hear the latest podcast on why it is important to have a few close friends to hold me accountable for my behavior. Maybe instead I just need to develop some relationships with a few close friends who hold me accountable for my behavior. Dale Bruner, again. The house that crashes is the house of Christians that find Jesus' words important enough to hear, but not realistic enough to live. For such Christians, his teachings is not practical enough for the demand of modern life, or is too naive for contemporary fast lane life, or too spiritual for urgent modern concerns, or perhaps most commonly of all, it is just too hard. For whatever reason, Jesus' words are only heard, they are not done. And Jesus sees this chemistry of hearing plus non-doing as forming a compound of sand. The rain comes down, the streams rise and beat against our houses, and they fall with a great crash. Cochrane Alliance Church, gathered with me online, gathered with me in this room. Will that be us when we come out of this pandemic? Whenever it is that we come out of this pandemic. I'm not saying that we're all going to keel over physically or we're going to be all kicked out onto the street with no lives and no possessions. But it could be that we come out the other side of this drained of any sense of spiritual vitality, disillusioned with God, disconnected with the Christian community around us, disappointed that God or other Christians didn't show up for us when we needed them to show up. And the reason for all that might not be that the foundation that Jesus offers us in the midst of us is bad. It's just that we chose not to build on it. We believed a whole lot of truth about his kindness, goodness, mercy, help. We just didn't do anything to build our life on it. What if, especially this year, in a year when our lives have taken a sudden and unexpected turn, when many of us, if we are honest, are not doing great, when it would appear that the economic and relational and emotional and mental waters are rising all around us, what if we invested as much effort this year into practicing as we usually do with learning? So what I want to do is invite anyone listening to join me, to join us this year in becoming more than just a learning community, but being a community of practice. We've given this initiative a name this year. We're calling it the Anchor Initiative, because we believe the way that we will stand in the midst of this storm is to stay anchored to Jesus by building our lives on his words. And our conviction is, if our houses are going to stand, if we are to be resilient in this season, it will take three ingredients: people, time, and intention. People, at least a couple others in our lives who will walk with us in a community of practice. It will take some time in our weeks, time each week in hearing Jesus' words and then putting them into practice. And third, it will take intention, daily habits that you will intentionally put into place that enable you automatically, because they're habits, that will enable you to do what Jesus says. Let me put it in a different way for those of you who are more mathematical. The formula for what we want to do this year is 3-2-1. Three, we want you to form a group of people with at least two others, so three or more, of people who will hear and practice with you this year. That will be your anchor crew. So that could be some of you are in existing small groups. Great, you've got a ready formed group already. Perhaps you want to form a new one. That would be great. Maybe you have a few families that you are in a cohort with. That would be phenomenal. Maybe you just want to operate in this as a family. That would be great. Whatever you choose, we just don't think that you're going to survive by doing it alone, by studying the Bible yourself. That's not how God designed you, and that's not how he designed the church to function. Our students who are in grades 6 to 12 will be doing this in youth, and JAM will be focused on the same stuff that we're tracking on together as well in a way that's suitable for our kids. So, form a group. Get with some people. Two, find the time each week. It's great to say that we're going to learn from Jesus and put it into practice, but it will mean that there's somewhere on the schedule regularly that that shows up. So, that means that you would participate in our worship service at least an hour a week, and that could be online, it could be live, you could have watch parties, do it outside in minus 30, show you're a true Canadian, do it inside, come join us here, whatever works. And then we'd like you to find another hour to work on applying what you've learned. Some of you will want to meet in person, others want to take more precautions, certainly you could do it online. And one, forge a habit. Together with you and your anchor crew, we want you to choose a daily habit that will enable you to practice what you've heard from God, that will help you establish an understanding of what it actually means to put Jesus' words into practice. We'll give you help. We'll give you tools to track it. We'll suggest potential habits that might be useful for you. However, it's up to you on what you want to choose. And we will give you tools that will enable you to be accountable to others who are tracking with you. So, how would you get started if you wanted to join in with us? And I hope you do. Well, first, you can sign up. So, if you go online right now, our homepage looks something like this. There's a spot at the top that says Anchor Initiative. Click that, press that, and when you do, you'll go to another page that looks like this, and it says, I'm in. And if you do that, that process of signing up will explain further what you need to do if you want to be involved with us this year. And I know that it doesn't all happen in like a day. It's not by like this evening you have it all sorted out. But we're bugging you to consider soon, to start talking to others soon. And if we have as many as we can on board by the end of the month, that would be fantastic. Again, sign up even if you don't have all the answers yet, and that will help you. Number two, we want to invite you to start talking to some people who might be able to hear and practice with you and who would be willing to set aside some weekly time to meet with you. And third, you can participate in church. We'll keep teaching you stuff because I'll get fired if I don't teach you anything. But as we do, as we journey together in church weekly, it will be with an eye to practice what we're learning together. And beginning next week, we will begin unpacking the Great Commandment, which we think forms a great foundation, a great paradigm for building a resilient life. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. I know that some of you don't get it. I know that some of you don't like it. That's great. So Mike is meeting online tomorrow for a Q&A, and if you hate it, he would love to have you online, and you can tell him all the better ideas you have, and he will meet you there. So tomorrow, or if you're watching online and it's still Monday, September 14th, 7 p.m., we would love to host a Q&A, explain what we're doing, find out resources that you can do, how it all works, and we would love to talk to you there. Bottom line, I don't want to just learn about jumping my bike. I want to jump my bike. I don't want us to just learn about what it means to be a thriving person. I want us to be thriving people. So, in the power of the Holy Spirit, let's do something. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built their house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are no different than the original church attendees on the mountain when you originally preached this sermon. We do love your teaching. The story says that when people listened to you, they sensed that you were unlike any other teacher they had heard before because your words carried authority. It was apparent, even in just listening to it, that it had power and capability to withstand the storms of life, that we can indeed build our life on this thing. And yet we know that hearing good stuff, hearing your wisdom, hearing your call to follow you, that's one thing. But building our life on it, doing something about it, is another thing. And the people, your people, have been well known throughout time of giving lots of lip service to following you, but not being so great on follow-through. It's apparent to us more than probably any time in our life that collectively we need your help, that we need you to stand, we need some kind of firm foundation. And so I pray this year, as we track together as a church, we would not just be learners, but we would be doers, and so find that you are indeed kind, you are indeed faithful, your words are indeed trustworthy, and that we can indeed thrive, even in the midst of whatever storm is ahead. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.